never comes. Words don't matter now, cause all we have is our yesterday. Would you promise to be okay?
Coming to you live from the headquarters of MarinateMeBaby.com. Conveniently located next to the kitchen. It's time for Eat and Drink It. With me, Brian Child, my fellow foodie travel companion, the lovely, the beautiful, smart, and funny, Daniel Edwards joins me. So slap in your earbuds, buckle up, folks. It's time to eat and drink it.
How are you?
Hello. How you doing, Danny?
I'm just grinning from ear to ear. That was quite the intro, man. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's going to be standardized and figured we could have a little fun with it.
I like it.
You're every bit of that, and thanks for joining us.
Right on.
Food.
Food.
We're now talking about food. We've done one episode.
Yes. How was your week, man, by the way? We've had a whole week. Lots of food in between.
I'm an eater. My size can tell you that.
Oh, brother.
And after several football disappointments this week, I've consumed.
So I wouldn't know how that feels.
I'm an eater. Oh, I'm an eater through my process. So many people might be out there. So how was your week?
Oh, no. My week was good. I've had a heck of an awesome weekend in football. That's probably why my voice sounds a little weird. I'm still trying to get my voice back from Saturday night beating USC.
Well, for those of you who don't follow Annie on the Twitter machine, she went down to the University of Utah and...
Blackout game.
Got to see a drubbing, or at least a very... wasn't a drubbing, but a convincing win by the Utes.
Yes.
And Danny was going to be on assignment, but because of the concourse of how populated it was, she wasn't able to get studio stadium food.
Yeah. We set a record Saturday night. 47,600 some odd people there. And going down there at halftime on the concourse, you could tell. We met up with a couple of our friends. I took another friend of mine with me. We met up with some other friends on the other side of the stadium, and it took us a long time just to get through there. I mean, tons of SC fans, of course, a heck of a ton of Utes.
Mm-hmm. What's a Ute?
A Ute?
Just kidding.
The two Utes, cousin Vinny.
Two Utes.
No, it was crazy, and it was good to see. It was a crazy crowd. I was going to try to get, a hot dog and a Coke and take a stadium picture of food, but
a smoking a pancake. Well, and
it just didn't happen.
Eventually
crazy.
We'll bring you stadium foods of the different sporting events that
we've got hockey started, jazz starts this week,
and apparently RSL's still playing.
Their last home game was last week, but
they start up the fall season? That's a joke. But I have been told that the stadium food down there is pretty good.
It is so good at Rio Tinto.
So I believe my son and I are going to the...
Oh, you've got some jazz tickets
the
there.
The jazz tickets. We're
right
going
on.
To OKC.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Durantless. But hopefully we'll have some nice stadium food to tweet about there.
There
and
you go.
Include them in the show and
there you go.
Let you guys know what to try at the stadiums so you don't waste your cash.
Oh, and it's pricey. It's like going to a movie.
Yeah, $17.95 for nachos.
Anyway, I was going to say.
That's a little expensive.
I haven't been to a... Yeah, wow. I don't remember it being that expensive when
I
went.
Just joking.
Now, you've got a couple of recipes that you want to talk about this week.
Yeah, well, we talked last week, and one of the recipes that a lot of the readers really went to after we talked about it on the podcast was slow cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time of year.
Easy.
Yeah, easy stuff, but putting it together, coming home, and when you get home from work, nothing's more soothing and satisfying than smelling something ready to eat.
Yeah.
To go, that you can just sit down and maybe do one or two prep items, and then you're eating.
Yeah.
And I know my wife, when she works on 2 days a week, these are real time savers.
Oh, yeah.
But they're tasty, and they can't be easier. So a couple things that we're gonna tease at the bottom of the show notes, but I'll walk you through them now. The first is a Southwest-style pot roast. Now, the Southwest-style pot roast, again, doesn't have a ton of ingredients.
Okay.
But when you see it out on the recipe, you're going to see that it does have 1 cup of Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay, now I definitely want
to
try this.
If you have an aversion to this, you can use red grape juice. But folks,
just use the wine. It's
just
okay.
Just use it. It's all right.
It's okay.
I did this for my in-laws.
Yeah.
But in turn, what I do is I go to Idaho mm-hmm. when we're taking drives as a family. And it's really mm-hmm. a way for me to keep my son captive for 2 hours. And my new car has child
sneaky,
locks.
Sneaky.
And he hates it. So we go up to Idaho and uh-huh. they have the little small bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't buy the full bottle of wine before mm-hmm. it goes sour or goes vinegar.
Right.
And those little bottles of wine are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because this calls for a cup. So it's one of those mini bottles.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Right on.
And most of my recipes call for a half a cup.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there.
I'll drink the other half for you.
There you go. You may very well be able to. But go out and get it. Taste it the first time.
Sure.
It's going to cook for 8 hours. By the time you get done.
Yeah, it's not going
to. You're going to serve 4 to 6 people with this recipe.
There you go.
With beef. Mm-hmm. So
beef.
Olive oil.
What's for dinner?
Garlic. Cabernet Sauvignon, mm-hmm. 3 small onions, potatoes, tomatillos,
okay.
which gives kind of a little sour taste to it.
Interesting.
And then a green chili seeded. Mm-hmm. You can buy the canned. It
okay.
works just fine.
Okay.
And then red bell peppers chopped, go fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can buy, and this is a really nice pantry staple,
okay.
is buy the Mexican style tomatoes. And some of them have with green chili or...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But
okay.
they're on the tomato aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Just kosher salt and black pepper.
Right on.
And you do need 2.5 pounds of top round roast. I sear that puppy off in the olive oil,
mm-hmm.
put it in the slow cooker,
mm-hmm.
dump the rest of the ingredients.
Just dump it in there.
Put it on low, let it sit there for 6 to 8 hours, and you can take a spoon and literally put the spoon on the meat.
Mm-hmm.
It'll tear apart.
Ooh,
and
that's how you know
if you want to put this over rice... You know, when you get home and put rice or potatoes, and
mm-hmm.
there's a parsnip mashed potato recipe out there on the website.
Oh, those are good. I've had it. That's good.
You know, Danny had elote corn today, and there's few things that will change
so
your
good.
Life. Elote corn mm-hmm. recipes on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Parsnip mashed potatoes.
Very good.
You may sell your soul for that one.
I don't have much of a soul left, but okay.
Now, Utah is winning, right? Just kidding. Just kidding, guys.
Well,
Utah's actually earned it.
Hey, I'll take it where I can get it.
They've done a great job.
In football, anyway.
Yeah.
We've got the pot roast. Now, didn't you have something about chicken, too? You had a chicken.
Well, I think America's kind of getting sour on chicken, but... I think it's because they haven't...
Because it's kind of boring, isn't
it?
It's getting kind of boring. It's been done.
There's a couple of recipes out there, and we'll next, towards Thanksgiving,
uh-huh.
we'll talk about brining turkeys and what that does for your bird,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go through that. It's fantastic. You won't want your bird to be any other way, but this is a smoky tomatillo chicken.
Okay.
If you've ever had tomatillo sauce, mm-hmm. Sonora Grill, we talked about last time, has that tomatillo sauce.
Very, very good.
And a lot of people think, it's just briny and kind of sour. But
that's what's good about it.
It is.
To
but
me,
you can
anyway.
Also make it a savory.
Yeah.
And this one, I think, has the sour notes.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is it highlights the chicken. And so if you've ever had chicken, you're like, oh, great, it's chicken.
Yay, chicken.
This one comes in and... Again, it can't be easier. 15 tomatillos, just small onion, uh-huh. chipotles. That gives it that rich,
love chipotle
roast to taste.
Mm-hmm.
It'll smack you in the mouth, but 2 chipotles in the sauce isn't bad.
Uh-huh.
And then garlic cloves, brown sugar kind of balances out the heat and the sweet, the mm-hmm. Tartness from your tomatillos.
Okay,
so it brings your balances out. It's level.
Right.
And then chicken stock. Dried oregano, and then 4 boneless chicken breasts. You can substitute 8 chicken thighs.
Okay.
And the chicken thighs will last longer in the cooking method because they're more, there's more sinew. There's more, it can absorb a longer cooking time, but it'll stay moist and tender.
Okay.
And so if you're into that, it's really good. And then you just put those puppies in the crock pot.
Nice.
Let it go 6 to 8 hours, 5 to 7 on my ingredients. I've gone to 6 to 8 with the chicken thighs, and it turns out perfect. And you just put that over with tortillas, because the chicken will just tear apart. Mm-hmm. Boneless, recommend that, but it'll just shred apart real easy. You put that with tortillas and over rice.
There you go.
You've got a meal.
I hope my mom is listening to that. My brother and I used to have this little joke when we were kids that my mom could make chicken every night for a year and never make the same thing twice.
Yeah.
Just because there are so many chicken recipes, there's so many variations of the same thing. This actually sounds, I mean, it doesn't sound like anything I really had before.
Which is new.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It's new, a little different, and the fact that it's easy. You just throw it in the crock pot in the morning before you go to work, you come back. There you go. It's done.
And one other thing you can do is you can take all of your ingredients that don't need to be sauteed or anything like that.
Right.
In these recipes, we try to do that. But literally, you can put them in a 1 gallon Ziploc bag and throw them in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you're done, you know, when you're ready to do that, pull it out the night before, put it in your fridge, put it in a 13x9 kind of baking dish, kind of like the ones we had the enchiladas in the
day. Yeah.
And then just let it sit there overnight, and then when you go to work, put it in your crock pot, you know, take it out,
right,
put it in your crock pot, put the lid on, put it on low or 250, whatever the lowest setting is, and let it go for 6 to 8 hours.
There you go.
You come home.
Easy peasy.
Easy, 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 easy stuff.
I like it.
But that's, I hope you guys try it. It's really fun. One of the things that I use is I have a slow cooker, and I got it from Kitchen Needs. And I have a couple of them, a crock pot. I think I got like 7 of them for my wedding. But then I got the big giant one from Kitchen Needs. And if you haven't got any of your equipment, we'll put a little link to one in the show notes.
Yeah.
But if you haven't gone down to Kitchen Needs, you can find them at 3030 Grant Avenue in Ogden, Utah. You could call them at 1-888-881-9957, or you can find them at kitchenneeds.com. That's KNEADS.
Right.
Or on the Twitter machine at Kitchen Needs, and hit them up. You might talk to me.
Dude, they've got some good stuff over there, though. Yeah. They've got the coolest little gadgets. And I mean, and I'm not, if anybody knows me, I don't like to cook. It's a waste of time for me, but you get some of these fun little gadgets.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I take that back. I don't like to cook just for me. Yeah. Let's say that. let me clarify.
That's common for a lot of people.
I mean, when I have friends over, I'm more than happy to cook. I'm an awesome cookie maker. Peanut butter cookies, man. Nobody can make better than me.
You're a good person. Peanut butter cookies are one of the greatest things God gave us.
They have just some of the coolest stuff over at Kitchen Needs.
And go there and try it out. Also on Kitchen Needs, they also have a schedule for classes.
Yes.
I know somebody who's the culinary director.
No way.
My wife. And she, they have bread classes at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, they kind of wind down. They do a little bit more candies, holiday type stuff. So take a look at it.
I'm going to have to take a couple of classes then.
But you have bread making. So those of you who bought a mill or haven't had a chance to learn how to do that, call Kitchen Needs. They'll hook you up with a class. They're free, and you're learning from real good people. And maybe one day you'll see me there teaching a meat rubbing class.
You know that I can't do that with a straight face.
I set you up.
You did. You totally set me up for that. It's the tip of the week.
It is the tip of the week.
Meat rubbing.
Before you get out there, folks,
gotta rub the meat.
Why though? I'm going to ask you a question, Danny.
Okay.
Why does rubbing your meat help you recreate the quality of food that you find in steakhouses?
Let me get the giggles out now. Okay. You know what? I honestly don't know. I've heard it a million times. You know,
you got to rub the meat.
Thank you. But I really don't know. Is it to keep it tender, keep it
no well it,
juicy
it is to make it juicy however
anyway okay.
One of the things that you
get
do
rid of the
is,
giggles.
Well, let's say you're taking out a ribeye.
Yes.
You want to bring that to room temperature.
Okay.
You don't want to be cooking cold meat.
Right.
However, you don't want it hot because then you have foodborne illnesses that come in. So you got to mind your temperatures. And there's websites out there to tell you what the right temperature is before you cook your meat.
Right.
But I generally bring mine room temperature, maybe 15 to 20 minutes out of the fridge, because chilled meat takes longer to cook.
Right.
Then what I do is before I cook it, again, about the same amount of time, I put a rub or a salt crust on the outside of my ribeye.
Okay. Sounds good.
What that does is it draws the blood or the juices inside your steak to the top. And then when you start to sear it on a hot cast iron pan or whatever you got, it's going to seal in the crust. And when you go out and you pay $25 at Longhorn or Maddox or someplace that you're just getting this unctuous, tasty steak... Yeah. They've taken the time to bring it to temp. Okay. They've taken the time to rub it down with salt, pepper, and folks really...
Do they whisper sweet nothings to it too?
You're the good meat. but yes, they don't.
You're such a good meat. You're a wonderful meat. Deep tissue massage.
You guide me. But if you put a good rub on there and then you sear it properly, one of the things that drives me nuts is when we went to... Crate and Barrel, Cracker Barrel. You don't eat a Crate and Barrel. But we went to Cracker Barrel, and I haven't been there for 15 years.
Right.
And I got the steak, and it was for my sister-in-law's birthday, and I wasn't thrilled to be there. It was a tough day anyway.
But so, they have such good candy and weird stuff in their store.
The store, great.
Anyway.
Food, not so much.
Okay.
But I was surprised that the meat that came out, because we had biscuits and chicken and all that other stuff.
Right.
But that was a nightmare 15 years ago. But the steak was actually seasoned pretty well. And I asked, I told them, she goes, well, do you need any A1? Not if the steak's
if it's cooked right, you don't need it.
So when you go back and you say, okay, how do I know if the steak is cooked right?
Yeah.
You make sure that they bring it to temp. You rub down the meat so you've got a nice coating, not an extra thick coating, but a nice coating, because a lot of it's going to come off in the cooking process.
Sure.
But when that's seared... And it's got the right doneness that you want, whether you're mid-rare or so forth. It is a fantastic piece of meat that you won't ever regret eating.
Right.
So rub your meat. Make sure you put the proper seasoning. And one of the things I kind of wanted to highlight for you guys, and we'll put it out on the website, is I have an article out there that says 5 rubs recipes that you can't do without. You want a holiday or a bird recipe for fowl.
Okay.
And I've placed the ingredients out there. It looks like a lot of ingredients, but I promise you, when you put it together, it's fantastic. So I have a holiday bird seasoning recipe.
Okay.
A Memphis style pork rub, which is really good on baby back or St. Louis style ribs.
Yummy.
Ribs, they're good.
And then brisket.
Yes, they are. Ooh, that's the best.
Brisket is so amazing. And I judge... two barbecue places by two things.
Okay.
Their brisket.
Yeah.
And their roasted or smoked turkey. If both of those are soft and juicy, then it's a good barbecue place. Dickie's is not one.
Okay, so let me ask you something about the brisket, though. What's your favorite part of the brisket? Because I am a huge, I like the burned ends.
You give me any part of the brisket, I will put it between my cheek and gum, and I will be a happy man. However... It depends on what you want the brisket for. Just for straight up eating, and I just want to get my fat on, I get the burn ends.
I love the burn ends.
Are awesome. Oh. They're smoked twice. There's a longer cooking process. That's why they're just a tad bit more expensive or special.
Okay.
But
special.
When you do the brisket proper, and you've taken off the fat cap, that extra piece.
Right.
And you smoke that and rub it down. Slice it up for sandwiches or just off to the side.
Oh,
brisket
so
is amazing stuff. Dalai Lama,
all over again.
Who made my logos, our logos here, he is getting a brisket. I finally...
Oh, yeah.
So it's coming your way, Dalai Lama.
Ooh, did you hear that, man?
Yeah, good stuff. And then the last is the Kentucky-style lamb rub. So
it's been a while since I've had that
lamb.
Yeah.
Not mutton.
Yeah.
Don't get mutton. Mutton is the old sheep.
Yeah, that's not good.
Greasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an older, and a lot of families have, in the old days, grew mm-hmm. up on it. My mother-in-law grew up on it.
Okay.
And she prefers that, but young lamb,
mm-hmm.
Morgan Valley has great lamb.
Oh, yeah?
So look for that in your grocery store. It's local. Uh-huh. It's sourced properly. But this one has a little bit of a cinnamon kick to it. And you rub that on the lamb ribs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just pausing. I know I'm going off the rails, but
you're fine.
All right, back at it. but if you get the right rub
yes.
for the meat,
mm-hmm.
your meat will come out better. And so if you do properly season uh-huh. it before you put it on the grill or whatever cooking method you're doing,
uh-huh.
you will find that your meat tastes better and better and better. And the key to all these recipes I have out on my website mm-hmm. and I share with everybody and mm-hmm. Danny, you get to eat when we do the podcast,
uh-huh.
it's not hard to make really good food.
It's not. It's really not.
When you do it to entertain,
mm-hmm.
it's so much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenge our listeners out there to go out there. The worst thing you're going to do is screw it up.
And big deal.
Big deal. But try it.
I screwed up a pumpkin cheesecake. Hey, it happens.
I like the pumpkin cheesecake. couple things, and I wanted to share this with everybody, and maybe we'll get a graphic. But
okay.
I believe, and this is just me, and mm-hmm. I'm not preaching false doctrine in LDS Church, but... I believe the person above us wanted us to grill.
Okay.
And eat meat. Mm-hmm. So all you veterinarians out there, whatever, dude.
Hey, if we weren't supposed to eat meat, they wouldn't have been made to taste so good.
They're delicious.
Thank you.
So a couple things. When you're cooking the next time and you're grilling a steak on your stovetop or out on the grill, I want you guys to do this test. So, Danny, if you'll do this with me.
Okay.
Take your left hand and stick it straight up in the air.
I'm not going to be rubbing meat now, am I?
No, you won't.
Okay.
But have your hand with your fingers extended until it looks like your palm in a five, right?
Uh-huh.
Have your thumb extended away from your index finger.
Okay.
And relax.
Okay.
If you take your right index finger
uh-huh.
and you push the soft part between your index finger and your thumb, that
gotcha.
Little crevice.
Yeah.
Push down, and mm-hmm. that is rare meat. So
that's how I like it.
You use your tongs mm-hmm. on top of your hamburger or whatever,
uh-huh.
and there's a lot of give.
Mm-hmm.
Not done cooking. That's rare.
But if you just slap it really hard and then throw it on the plate, I'm good.
Not gonna.
I know you're not gonna.
Then you
okay.
close your hand just barely. But mm-hmm. not tight.
So you can kind of see through it still a little
still
bit.
Still see through it.
Okay.
And then, not with my fat hands, but
well,
you take your hand, your same index finger and you put there between
mm-hmm.
your thumb and your index. And now you can see there's a little bit more of a firmness there.
So that would be like medium rare,
mid
right?
rare.
Okay.
Slowly or uh-huh. a little bit clenched fist.
Okay.
That's mid well.
Okay.
And then tight fist.
Uh-huh.
Throw it away.
Yeah, it's
just
done.
Throw it away.
It's a briquette after that.
However, for those of you who like burnt offerings, you've now given it, and you should be loved. But
place
if in my
it
house,
upon the sacrificial altar.
In my house, it's a clenched fist, barely.
Uh huh.
So it gives just slightly away.
Okay.
It's still not mooing, but
I like it mooing.
I like a deep red. Mm-hmm. With a pink outer
mm-hmm.
and a nice crust. And that
okay.
generally between 3 and 7 minutes,
mm-hmm.
depending on the thickness of the steak.
Okay.
You'll achieve that on a regular basis. So go out there and try it, guys.
Give it a shot.
I'll see if there's a visual I can show you out on the website. But that's why Heavenly Father put meat on the grill for us.
Because it's so tasty.
He gave you your own built-in
thermometer.
Meat thermometer. Fantastic stuff.
I love it. Okay. So we're going from recipes to the tip of the week, rubbing your meat. And
that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Rub the meat.
Personal built-in thermometers for your meat.
Hey. Tons of information here.
Hey, we are a plethora of information. Good information,
too. I don't even know what a plethora is. One of my favorite shows.
Too funny, but we've got a little bit of food news to talk about.
Yes, we do.
I actually, you know, this is something that I torment myself with almost on a daily basis. I love salads, especially for lunch, just because I really don't have a lot of time. And when you can have a salad and it's different every time. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're eating the same peanut butter sandwich every single, I love peanut butter sandwiches, but
you get tired of it.
Exactly. You want to switch it up a bit, and you can do that with the salad. One day you can have a Greek salad. The other day you can have a chef salad, mm-hmm. whatever. But
and if the chef is Greek?
Hey, nice job, Brian. I'm impressed.
Don't call me the king of transitions for nothing.
Oh, boy. The Segway connoisseur. There's an article on Huffington Post about how many calories are actually in your salad. And just because you're eating like Bugs Bunny and eating some leafy greens or whatever, that does not necessarily mean really all the healthiest thing in the world. I'm guilty of it, you guys. I love a good creamy Italian dressing, or, you know, just a Caesar. Mm-hmm. Or I'm also a sucker for olives, black or Kalamata olives. Yeah. Give me some feta cheese, I'm in trouble. You know, and you look at this and you think that you're doing okay. Really, it's not that bad if you take a, just kind of watch what you're, don't cover your salad with.
Maybe not the entire chef salad.
You mean I can't have the entire bowl of Kalamata olives? Dang you.
Well, what's dangerous? I mean, how many Kalamata olives are we talking about before we get into...
You know, okay, I could sit down and eat an entire bowl of Kalamata olives. I love, with a little bit of feta cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, buddy. But you've got six olives, 50 calories and six little tiny olives.
Well, is that the suggested portion size?
Well, see... That's another thing. Suggested serving sizes?
Yeah, they're lies.
Come on.
They're lies.
Come on. You can't...
I open up a Pringles thing of chips and it says, serving size, 6 chips.
Yeah.
6 chips.
Yeah, I mean, okay, then you've got somebody like me who will sit down and eat 24 Kalamata olives. That's 200 calories that you really didn't need.
But tasty, and you...
Oh, they're so yummy.
You no longer need salt for the next month.
Well, that's true. That's probably, yeah. Croutons, you know, I mean...
Well, there's a reason why...
It's bread. Come on.
I love croutons, but there's a reason why they're crispy. They put oil on them.
Exactly.
Or some type of fat.
Pretty much kind of...
Or you'll see on there called lipid. And that's another word for fat. Mm-hmm. They're tasty.
Yeah.
I love them.
If you like cheddar cheese. I mean, we're kind of naming off some simple things that are pretty much on a chef salad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get, you know, your little cheddar cheese cubed, four little cubed pieces of cheddar cheese, 50 calories.
I could eat like 90 of those.
So basically, if you're not really paying attention when you're, you know, at a salad bar or, you know, just sitting down to a really nice salad, if you're not paying attention, that 300 calorie salad just went to 1200 calories, and you might as well have just eaten a cheeseburger.
I think that's a good point.
You know, you got to watch it. There's simple things that you can substitute in place of other things.
Well, and I think if you like them, you don't necessarily have to go without, but hopefully this will help with making better food choices to say,
exactly,
if I want protein on there and something else, then here's some choices that say, this is what I'm getting. This is what I'm getting into. And this means this much time on the treadmill.
That's another thing.
I know that was a swear word. I apologize.
Man. If I'm going to do anything, I like doing the elliptical and I love weights, but still.
Absolutely. But so salads, I
just
love them.
Just watch it.
But
yeah,
I think, you know, take a look at those guys. Hopefully, you know. Gosh.
Oh, here's a good one. Just to end this off. You know, we're in Utah. And, you know, we're all about the ranch dressing and the fry sauce. Ranch dressing on a salad. 1.5 tablespoons. That's not going to go anywhere on a salad. Okay. 50 calories. Six tablespoons, which is... Really, I mean, think about it, you guys. You can deny this all you want to yourself, but when you're putting dressing on a salad, you're putting anywhere from 4 to 6 tablespoons, if not more. That's 200 calories that you didn't need.
One tip that I found out, and I when I was doing Weight Watchers a while back, they suggested this, is get your salad dressing onto the side.
And just dip it, because you don't realize you don't need that much.
Dip your fork tines into the salad dressing and then eat it. And then that is your whole bite.
Right.
You've tasted it. You've coated your mouth.
And it's really there. I mean, the taste is there. The texture is there. You don't need to be eating.
Networks, and again, I'm getting off the topic here, but
when you get
chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
I do the same thing with that country gravy, is I dip my tongs in that.
I'm hungry all over again.
Eat the piece of chicken.
Yeah.
And then I eat it that way. I no longer am taking in all that gravy.
Exactly.
But I still get the taste.
But you still get the taste. And you don't feel like you're being deprived.
Even though I'm eating a fried piece of meat.
We'll just skirt along that part, though.
Not that I said that or anything. So, Danny, that's this week's episode. Quick.
Yay.
Hopefully, we're going to continue to kind of keep it in that nice sweet spot so you can listen to these while you're driving. Mm-hmm. Danny.
Yeah.
How do people keep in touch with you over the next week until we have the next great episode of Eat It, Eat and Drink It?
Eat and Drink It. Well, usually I'm out there in the Twitterverse. I'm at TokenChick13. I'm there rambling about something every day. So, you know, hit me up. Let's talk if you want. Or you can just laugh at the humor I think I have. And... What about you, Brian? You're out there too.
Well, with you, Danny, you didn't mention, we're out on the taxi squad.
Oh yeah.
And we do this,
I was so
we do the podcast there, and that's how we met.
Chance, I'm sorry. You can get us at taxisquadshow.com too. Sports, Utes, BYU.
Yeah.
A little bit of NFL. Speaking of, I called the Washington Dallas game. You're welcome, Chad. I'm sorry, Brian.
Somehow I feel like you're not sorry.
I called that game. They won by 3. I have no idea how I did it.
I'm not going to say how good she's been in the predicting department, but,
I've been good.
She may want to spend some time in Wendover. I'm just saying.
Hey, you know, that's when I start to get cocky and that's when I start to lose. So I gotta keep a little bit of humble. Keep it under the radar.
Keep it on the down
bit.
Low.
There you go.
As you guys know, I'm out there, Marinate Me Baby. This is Danny and I's podcast. But you can also keep in touch with me with BYU Sports Cave.
Mm-hmm.
I also do the Holy Rivals podcast with Brad Pierce. And, of course, the great Taxi Squad.
He's one of three good BYU fans. Just so you know, there's three good BYU fans. Brian's one of them. Hit me up if you want to know the other two, but Brian's one of the good ones. So Ute fans, Brian's good. Don't worry about him. He's awesome.
Yeah, don't block me. And then, Danny, why don't you tell us about the music selection that we've got?
Oh yeah, I actually like this. I didn't hear this until tonight, but her name is Etana.
Yep.
And it's called The Richest Girl. Really impressed. I like it. I like it a lot. A little bit of reggae going on.
This was a Sirius XM find.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sirius XM.
I found some good stuff on Pandora the other day too. It's crazy.
So if you guys have a great song or anything you guys like to share with us via recipe tips and so forth, reach out, marinatemebaby@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If it's short, pithy, funny, whatever, we may use it on a later
podcast.
You
never know.
Well, thanks, Danny. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Brian. Have a good one, guys.
You too.